What is the thing that, or the things that you worry about the most? Health. Who else feels like her? As you get older, you do worry about health. But you said you're worried about it. That's true. That's another worry. That's another worry. The worry of a loved one dying and what you're going to do after that loved one dies. I know where you're coming from. You know, I was worried about health when I was in the hospital 2 times after surgery in November. I worried about health. I praised God. You know what he said to me? You enrolled in Silver Sneakers 6 months ago. Did you ever go? I enrolled and never went until I ended up in the hospital. And after the hospital, I said, I better start going to the gym 3 times a week. I go 3 times a week now, and I become a gym rat like Winston Plummer. His wife, he's trying to make her a gym rat. You went to the gym, Desiree? You go to the gym too? Are you a silver sneaker person? Silver sneakers, great, it's free.
What is going on with her today? She needs the golden one. Okay, thank you.
Did they find anything in the brain? They found the brain, thank God. See, you got to trust in God. Who else has worries? Tell me about your worries. What do you worry about?
Mama.
Kids. Oh, my God. God gives us kids to teach us that we have no control.
And parents for the same reason.
Kids keep us on our knees. And, you know, they could be 50 years old and you still worry about them. That's why God gives us kids. It brings us to learn to trust in Him. Some parents never do, and they try to mold their kids into their image, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. All it leads to is frustration, pain, and misery for both the parents and the kids. Who else has worries?
Parents.
Run away? Anxiety at work. A lot of people are not worried because they're worried the boss doesn't appreciate them. They're worried they're not doing exactly what is expected of them. Worry, worry, worry at work. Who else?
Money.
Oh, my God. Who? Tell me who does not worry about money in this congregation. Raise your hand if you worry about money. The best way to deal with worry about money is let your spouse take care of all the finances. I don't worry about money at all because Deborah worries about it. So I figured, let her worry about it. I'll just rejoice and be happy. But a lot of people in this society worry about money because, you know, how many of you think you have enough? Most people don't think they have enough. They always feel they need more and more and more money. But we don't need as much money as we have. We're just spoiled children of God, and we think we need all the toys. You know, you look at our kitchens, most of your kitchens. My kitchen is like a massive electronic store. The latest electronic gadgets in my kitchen: convection ovens, infrared ovens, regular ovens, everything mixer you can think. Zulily, HSN, QVC are so happy with my wife that they give free shipping. But people are focused on money. And what right now is happening in society, nationally, people are worried about money. They're worried about Obamacare being repealed. They're worried about work. People are really fearful because fear leads to worry. And the devil uses our worries and fears. That's where he tempts. See, that was the devil saying. He said, that's right, that's right. He attacks you at your Achilles heel, and that's where you feel weakest in your life and where you're worried. And that's how he tempts us. So Jesus went into the desert for a retreat. Father Albert talked about retreats on Ash Wednesday. So he went for a 40-day retreat into the desert to prepare for public ministry. And he fasted, and he was hungry at the end of the 40 days. I don't blame him. I would have been hungry after the first day, but whatever. And the devil comes in, and he said, see those stones? I can turn them into bread. And Jesus just looked at that crafty devil and said, it's not by bread alone that man survives, but by every word that comes from the Father's mouth, right? So the devil says, oh, missed that one. So he figures another weakness that Jesus might have in that desert. That sense of powerlessness that parents feel with their kids. He said, I'm going to attack him on that sense of powerlessness. So he takes him up to a pinnacle and says, throw yourselves down and the angels will support you. And he also took him to a mountaintop and promised him, you know, if you worship me, I'll give you everything. A lot of people worship the devil so that they can have everything in this society. I hate to say it, but a lot of people worship mammon. And money is their god. That's our society, ladies and gentlemen. Money is more important than our faith in God. We have more faith in 401ks and pensions and Social Security and all those things that could be taken away. We have faith in that more than we do in God and our bank accounts. And Americans have become less generous and more greedy for fear of not having enough when they get old. I mean, we all have that fear and worry. But if we do live with that fear and worry, it consumes us, because worry paralyzes people. It paralyzes people. And it blinds us to the opportunities that God has for each one of us. Opportunities that are there if we praise Him and entrust our fears and worries to Him. We will see a way out. We will find a way out and see where He wants us to go. And the third one was that when he tested him on the pinnacle, throw himself down, and that's because we put ourselves first. He was challenging Jesus to put himself first. He said, don't worry, put yourself first. And if ask the angels to catch you. And Jesus, no, he came here to do for us, not to do for himself. He didn't come here to be a magician, to show how great he was. He came here for our salvation. So he re-looked at the devil and said, be gone, Satan. And in the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Deliver us from, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then what do we say afterwards? This is good Episcopalian. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. The way out of worry and fear is praise. The more we praise God, the less we worry and are fearful. When I got to this church years ago, I remembered I was invited to be the rector here because I was a project manager in construction, and I was also a professional fundraiser, a development officer for Deaf Service Center of Palm Beach County and Food for the Poor. The parish wanted to build a new church. They looked at my resume and they go, construction fundraising, come on in. So that's how I got here at St. Benedict's. But when it came to building the new church, there were a lot of naysayers. And when we went for a contract negotiations, they said $1.6 million. Before we finished, it was $2.5 million. Well, Father Bob was worried like mad. How am I going to raise all this money? And then all these parishioners come to me, and there was not all. Vestry was behind every step of the way. But there were parishioners with money that said, you can't do it. There's no way we can do that. And we're going to have to ante up a lot. And they were totally against building this new church. Totally. Well, I was ready to leave the parish. I said, you know, I was so worried and so concerned about what people thought and everything else, it was eating me alive. You know, that happens. Worry eats us alive. It kills us. So I decided I had a pastor from 40 years ago in Blackstone, Massachusetts, and he couldn't pay the bills one month, and he needed $10,000 short. So he said, Bob, I went in the chapel, I threw myself on the knees and told God, I'm broke, we're broke, I need money, I need $10,000. A few days later, a lady walks into the office, parish office, with a bag, paper bag, brown paper bag, gives it to Father, and walks out of the office. He opens the bag, $10,000 in the bag. So I thought to myself, he can do that. So I tried it a few times, little ones. Like one time we needed $100. You know, we had three kids at the time. They were all little, and they eat money like, you know, as if it's going out of the window. And I said, God, I need $100 tomorrow. The next day there was a check in the mail for $100. So I said, okay, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to trust you. I'm asking now for $2.5 million. And his answer was, in time. And so we went to contract, we built the church, but the mortgage was $12,000 a month. And so I said, we were doing fine for the first few years, and all of a sudden, we were going in the hole with the mortgage. Worry, I'm all worried again. Ready to leave the parish. And that's why I retired, incidentally. But anyway, I was so worried about the stupid mortgage. And I said, pray. And I read Merlin Carruthers, Prison to Praise. And he says, you got to praise God in all circumstances, especially when you're filled with fear and worry. So I started praising God, you know, with tongue in cheek. Oh, praise God for the bills and for the debt that we're in this mortgage. And all of a sudden, one day he goes, Bob, refinance. I said, duh. We refinanced, went from $12,000 to $7,000, and Albert told me they're going to burn the mortgage in 3 years. And we built the church in 1963. I mean, 2003. I said, that's better than the mortgage I have in my own home. God provides, but we have to trust him with our worries and our cares. We have to give them over to him, because if we don't, we become paralyzed. We become consumed by our own fears and worries, as what's happening nationally in our country. And what does worry and fear do? Divides people. That's the way the devil takes away the strength of our nation. That's the way he destroys families. That's the way he destroys us as individuals. By going at our weaknesses. But it's our praise God for your weaknesses. Because if you were not weak, you would never come to him. It's weakness that brings us to God. St. Paul writes, when we are weak, we are most strong. Because when we're weak, we rely on God's power to help us so that his power can flow into that situation. When we're strong, we don't pray to God about our strength. People that are very rich, they don't go, oh, praise. They don't whine about their finances. Because they feel they have power. They have money, they have power. And they think, and if you say, give me some of your money. No, it's my money. It's not their money. Everything belongs to God. But it's their money. And I worked hard for this money. Oh, so me who worked really hard and is in debt. That means I didn't work hard, you worked hard, I didn't. No. Just people are given different gifts and different talents. But the one who's given much, much is expected of him. One who's given little is expected to give what they have. That's the scriptures. But it's entrusting God with our worries and our cares and praising God in the midst of that. God tests people the most when the death of a loved one. When Brandon died, that tested my faith and my wife's faith. I don't care who you are. If you've lost someone that you really love, it really tests your faith, because mourning is considered a weakness in our society, and the devil uses mourning as a way of help making us lose faith in God and in the promises of the scriptures, where we begin to question the existence of God, question the existence of heaven, question where that person is, whether they're in heaven or in hell, whatever. And we always have jokes about, I'm going to hell because most of my friends are going to be there. We have these sayings. But death has a way of really challenging the faith of people. The devil uses that to really destroy our faith. And we need to praise God, and even in the midst of the death of a loved one. One woman walked out of church today. She said, I was angry at God for taking my husband. And I've been really sad for a long time. And she said, after your sermon, she said, I'm not going to be sad about his death. I'm going to thank God for the years that I had him in my life. I'm just being great. I'm going to be grateful for what he meant to me and continues to mean for me in the communion of saints. Now that's conversion. That's grace, God's grace that touched that woman and changed her heart from a heart of anger at God, depression, fear of death, fear of bad health, and turned her around because of his grace. We just need to lay those issues at the foot of the cross. There's a song that St. Louis Jesuits wrote years ago. It says, lay your burden down, lay your burden down. Lay your burden at the foot of the cross. Lay your burden down. As we lay these fears and our worries at the foot of the cross and entrust them into the hands of God and say, here they are. Here's my son. He's yours, Thank God we had him for 26 years. To do that, and to praise him for in gratefulness for what we were able to do for him and what he did for us. And that's true of anybody in our lives. And to praise God in all circumstances and to allow him to heal and to restore us, to redeem us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yeah.